This is a amazing setup over here. I heard about that. I had a sneak preview. First of all, we want to thank the Detroit Yeshiva for giving us their tent. The boys aren't here yet, so they're letting us use their tent for the event. I heard about this from my son Yisrael, who I didn't see him all day because he said he was setting up the tent. So I don't know if he's the one who set it up, but okay. So we've been learning more of the Rebbe's Igros. This is a continuation of a series that we began 30 days before Yud Aleph Nissen. Before the Rebbe's birthday, we started learning 30 letters in 30 days. And Baruch Hashem, many people got excited about learning the Rebbe's letters. And then after Yud Aleph Nissen, people said, you can't stop. You got to continue in some capacity. So we launched part two of the series, which was a Gimel Tammuz Hachona. We've been preparing for Gimel Tammuz over the past 30 days. We started on Gimel Sivan, 30 days before Gimel Tammuz. And we didn't do it every day because that was a little bit, at least for me, a little bit excessive. We've been doing it every Thursday night. A live letter. So this is letter number 5. And we've been following a theme. All of our previous letters for the past 30 days have been about hiskashas, have been about the connection, the relationship between a Rebbe and a Chassid and a Chassid and a Rebbe. Somebody wrote to me, by the way, and he's probably watching right now because from the things he wrote, it was apparent that he actually listens to what I say. I told a story. The first letter that we did in this series was the Shlomo Chaim Kesselman letter. And I mentioned a story about Shlomo Chaim that he once was verbringing and a Litva Shabacha said, I'll be a Makusha, but I don't need to be a Makusha to the Rebbe. I want to be Makusha to Abaye V'Rava, to the Amoraim from the Gemara. And Shlomo Chaim said, well, it's nice you want to be Makusha to them, but who says they want to be Makusha to you? And the difference is the Rebbe is the Nasi, he wants to be Makusha to every Yid. So I told that story when we learned the letter, and then for some reason I told it again last week, and somebody wrote in and said, I don't like that story. Okay, so first of all, what do we say? That's the story. That's how, you know why you can't ask a question on a story is because that's the way it happened. If it was fiction, if I made it up, you could criticize me. But that's what he said. But the criticism I really loved because he said, why would anybody think that Abaye V'Rava wouldn't be connected to every Jew? And the person who wrote the letter made it clear that he's not coming from a Lubavitcher background. In fact, he said, when Lubavitchers speak this way, it sounds very insecure. It's a turnoff. I want to tell you my reaction when I read that comment. I was so delighted that this guy has been so thoroughly brainwashed that it's clear to him that Abaye V'Rava would want to be connected to every single Jew. That's beautiful. And I'm glad that your view of a true Gadol has become so Rebbified. And that's great. And I agree with you. I agree with you. I was talking to, and I can't give too many particulars here, I was talking to a young woman recently who comes from a Litvisha background. And she was saying she saw something from a Tzivas Hashem campaign where they were telling the kids, make the Rebbe proud. And she said to me, it's weird. Why are you telling these kids to make the Rebbe proud? You know, the Rebbe passed away 28 years ago. You're telling them, make the Rebbe proud. She said, and I'm not going to say the name that she said, because it's not important for the story, and it would only be a distraction. But she said, I believe so-and-so is the Gadol Ador. And he's alive. And he doesn't know me. And he doesn't want to know me. I don't think he's missing anything that he doesn't know me. And you're going and telling these kids that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who passed away before they were born, is keeping track of them. So I didn't really answer that, what she said to me, but I treasured it personally because it was a moment of clarity for myself. I said, wow, it never even occurred to me that there could be someone, and this is a very intelligent, very spiritual, very thoughtful young woman. It never occurred to me that there could be a concept of someone who is considered the Gadol Hador, and that part of that definition is not that they know about, or at least want to know about, every single Jew. Like, to me, that's automatically, in fact, more than saying somebody is smart. Oh, they know Kola Teda Kula. Okay, but do they know every Jew? That, to me, is the first quality. Then you could ask me, you know, how much of a Talmud Chacham are they? So the idea that a Rebbe is truly connected and wants to be connected. I mentioned at a Fabrengen in the Five Towns. A few nights ago, we had a Fabrengen. We had our Gimel Tamas, pre-Gimel Tamas Fabrengen in the Five Towns, where I am fortunate to be on Shlichus, just 15 minutes from here. And I mentioned at the Fabrengen how the Rebbe is connected to the entire Jewish people. And I shared, I didn't plan on sharing this, I shared it very spontaneously. A recollection that I had of being at a Sheva Brachas of a cousin of mine who's not a Lubavitcher in Manhattan at the Karlbach Shul. And there was a gentleman there, an elderly gentleman at the time. I was a Bachar in 770 at the time, so this is like 1998. Or something like that, maybe 97. And they introduced me to him, and he said, oh, you're a Lubavitcher, and I was the only Lubavitcher there. And I said, yeah. So he said, I used to go on business trips to Jamaica in the 50s and the 60s, and whenever I would come back from Jamaica, I would go to the Rebbe, and it would always have Yechidus. They would always let me straight in, because I could report to the Rebbe about everything that's going on for it's a very small Jewish community there, maybe like 100 families in Jamaica, and I would report to the Rebbe about the few Jewish families in Jamaica. So I asked this guy, I said, you're not a Lubavitcher. How come when you would come back from Jamaica, you would report to the Lubavitcher Rebbe? So he looked at me almost like stunned, and he said, who else would care? Who else would care? It's 100 Jews, 100 families living in some godforsaken island. Like, we got problems of our own over here. Who are you going to tell about? What leader has time for that? So I mentioned that story. I did not plan on telling that story, but I got a WhatsApp the following day from the shliach in Jamaica. And he said that he was off to put on a mezuzah on a house of a Yid who's the only Jew who lives in his town. And he was driving through a forest and he was listening to the replay of the Fabrengen. And all of a sudden, as he's driving in some totally desolate area of Jamaica, he hears this story about who cares what's going on with the Jews in Jamaica? The Lubavitcher Rebbe. So, anyways, in answer to the gentleman who wrote to me, you're 100% right, and congratulations that your worldview has been so thoroughly influenced by the Rebbe's teachings that it is an absolute, obvious, apparent reality to you that all of the Tanoim v'Amoroyim would want to know every single Jew, even an intermarried Jew living in a trailer park in Oklahoma. All the Tanoim v'Amoroyim would want to know him and spend time with him and speak to him and smile at him, show him love. And I believe you're correct. So thank you for pointing that out. So today's letter is from the Igris. It's another letter from Tavshin Yud. We did a number of letters from Tavshin Yud from the year of the Friedrich Rebbe's passing. So I'll just start here. Baruch Hashem Yud Zayin Elul. Do people have the PDF at least? Yeah. In case people are watching on YouTube right now, the PDF's not on YouTube. So where can people get the PDF? 30letters30days.com? Yeah, 30letters30days.com. The PDF is there. Baruch Hashem Yud Zayin El Tavshin Yud Shalom Avracha. The 17th day of Elul. The year is 5710, Tavshin Yud, which is the year of the Friedrich Rebbe's Histalkus. The Rebbe says Shalom Avracha, which, as we all know, those of us who've been studying the Igris, that's how the Rebbe greets a man. And this man is a father, and he's writing about his son, as you are about to see. B'mayin al michtove chai menachem av sheshel be'inyin ha'toke me'machanai ato ulon. First thing the Rebbe addresses, in response to your letter from the 18th of Av, when you're writing about moving, relocating, and where you should relocate to. This is not just talking about moving down the block. This is talking about somebody who's looking to leave the country that they're in. I don't know what country they were in. I mean, I could make some guesses. This is 1950. This is, at this point, the war refugees really don't have any place to go. They have to find permanent homes. There were DP camps, displaced person camps. In fact, remember the first letter we did in this series, the Shlomo Chaim letter, that Rebbe was speaking about the DP camps. By this point, the DP camps were shut down. A lot of Lubavitchers, this letter seems to be written to a Lubavitcher chassid, were in Paris, sort of as like a temporary place to be before they found someplace else to go. So the Rebbe is writing them and says, "Hine lefi daiti yisanyin im yesh afshorius biyode lahasig nyores laartzis habris." I would be interested to find out if you could get papers, meaning documents, to travel to America, Canada, or Australia, America, Canada, Australia. Ulfi erech kamazman nitzruch al zed, and also how much time it would take. Vim ein afshorius biyode yedieni, and if it's not possible to get to any of those three places, then let me know. I want to find out. Okay. Umasha Kosov Shilivnoi. What you write about your son. Ein Cheshek Kolkach Bilimude, that he's not so excited about learning. That your son is not so excited about learning Torah. So what should this father tell this son who's not so excited about learning? So maybe he should tell him how important it is to learn. Yeah. Let's see what the Rebbe tells him. Yasbir loy, you should explain to him, be'esius hamasimis lefonov, in words that are appropriate to him. As itzter is gor andrish, the Rebbe says in Yiddish, that now things are completely different. It's a very interesting expression. Things are completely different now. We're living in a new era. We're living in unprecedented times. In what way? V'tzarechu ladas. Remember, this is Tavshin Yud. This is right after the Histalkus of the Friedrich Rebbe. So what times are we talking about? V'tzarechu ladas, he has to know. Asher kved kedushas meir v'chomi admur hakam, hu hanosi v'harosh shel kol chasidov mukshorov, that my father-in-law, the Rebbe, he is the Nasi, the leader, and he is the head of all of his chassidim and all those connected to him. V'kevin shaharei sharei b'pshitus ha'gmura hu body v'chazak, since the head is obviously healthy and strong, it is obvious that he, the head, the Rebbe, is healthy and strong. Harei nimtzoyim bei kol hakoiches v'achayis hashayochim l'chol echad v'achas mehamekusharim shalai b'shleimus, that he, the Rebbe, has within him all of the power, potential, and vitality that belongs to each one of those who are connected to him. And he has it completely. He's the head, like an organism that has a head. All of the limbs may be different limbs, but they all receive, like Chassidus explains, they receive their vitality from the head. And we know in this case, the head is healthy and strong. The head is the Rebbe. And that the Rebbe, being the head, has all of the power and all of the life in its fullest, complete form that each one of his chassidim require. Ve'ena davar toli ala bohem. And the only thing that's a factor here, the only variable, is up to them. In other words, whatever you need, he's saying to the father, explain to your son, whatever it is that you need, the Rebbe has it, because he has whatever all of his mekusharim need. And he has it completely intact. It's available. It's in stock. It's already there. And all you have to do is claim it. It's yours already. However, conversely, this is for the Rebbe very negative talk. The Rebbe avoids anything negative. But here the Rebbe says, and if not, and if one doesn't conduct oneself according to what the head would want them to do, hari ein zeh negeya l'hamakusha bilvad, this doesn't only affect the person himself. It's a two-way street. The Rebbe is stuck with you. So maybe you don't care about yourself, but at least have some sympathy for the Rebbe. Those are my words. I added that. There's a letter also in the Igris from Tavshin Yud Aleph from the following year. Over a year later, it's from Cheshvan of, or actually, I'm sorry, no, it wouldn't be over a year later, it would be 2 months later, because this is Elul of Tavshin Yud. This is the last couple weeks of Tavshin Yud. So from a couple months later, there's a letter where the Rebbe is writing to a chassid, and officially, we don't know who it is. You ask me later, I don't know, maybe I'll hint to you who it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anyways, there's a letter that Rebbe is writing to a chassid who wants to go to college. And the Rebbe tells him it's not really a proper thing for him to do. And first of all, the Rebbe says it's something very interesting. He says, you're sort of, your claims that you want to do something, I told you not to, it's a whole correspondence back and forth that I was saying, I told you not to do it, and you're saying you want to do it anyway, but I don't believe you, because the Rambam says in Hilchos Gerushin that every Jew wants to do the right thing. Right? It's, you know the famous thing, the Kaifan, I say, you hit the guy until he says, I agree. Isn't it coerced? No, it's not coerced, because the Rambam says, deep down, every Jew wants to do the right thing. So he says, so don't tell me you don't want to do the right thing. I read the Rambam. The Rambam says, every Jew wants to do the right thing. And then the Rebbe says, look, you know, when it, we don't have this anymore, but there used to be something called Ari Miklot, cities of refuge for manslaughter for an accidental killer. So the din is that if a Talmud goes into Golus, Rabbi, his teacher, goes with him. So the Rebbe writes to this chassid and says, you can't go wherever you want to go, because wherever you go, you're going to schlep the Rebbe with you. He's going to be forced to come along. And then the Rebbe says, apparently in response to something that this young man had intimated to the Rebbe, that if so, then I voluntarily sever my connection so that I won't be torturing the Rebbe to bring the Rebbe with me. The Rebbe says, you can't do that. Why not? Because it's like a gershon is gayer, the Rebbe says. That once he dunks, he comes out of that mikveh, he's stuck. And even if he sins later, it doesn't matter. He's just a Jew who's sinning. He can't become un-Jewish. So the Rebbe says, you connected yourself to the Rebbe, kamayim aponim alponim, the Rebbe reciprocated, you're locked in, that's it. And now, wherever you go, the Rebbe comes with. And then the Rebbe says, gefei lecha eisius. From Igeres HaTshuva, third chelik of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe speaks about the effect that a Yid has on the Shechina when he sins. Geras HaTshuva, the Alter Rebbe explains that Tshuva, the word Tshuva, return, is Toshav Hei, to return the Hei of Hashem's name, which is Malchus or Shechina, and that when you sin, you're taking the Hei of Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, and you're schlepping that into Klippa, and the way that it's described in Chassidus is Melech Ase Berahotim, the king who is held down in the gutter. So the Rebbe says, if you do this, if you go somewhere that the Rebbe doesn't want to go, you are taking the Rebbe under duress and forcing him into that place. So, here what is the Rebbe saying to this father? Explain to your son, first the positive. Everything he needs, the Rebbe has it, and it's available for him to just claim it. Conversely, you should let him know that if he doesn't claim his potential, if he doesn't live up to his abilities, then it's not just the loss of something positive, it's actually causing damage. It's not just, you're not just hurting yourself. Isn't that always the claim? Who am I hurting? And what am I, a murderer? What am I, a thief? Who am I hurting but myself? Well, there's no such thing as you're only hurting yourself. That's Bechlal, that Rebbe explained how we're all interconnected, that Rebbe explained the mashal of the space mission, that we're all on in the space capsule, on the rocket ship, and everything we do affects the integrity of the mission. But this is on an even deeper level, that you're connected to the Rebbe. So anything you do, it's not just affecting you, it's affecting the Rebbe. The Rebbe continues. V'kashi yisbeinin b'zeh afilu l'shokalo. That if you'll meditate on this for even a moment, betach, it is certain, yiragoydol hu achrayas mutalas halov, you're going to perceive the incredible responsibility that has been given to you. U'bemida hamasemis l'matzav Briusei, and in a way that is commensurate with your health. I think that's such an interesting phrase there. In a way that's commensurate with your health, Yimser, you'll turn over, give over, V'yitenes Atzme, and dedicate yourself. The Rebbe says it in Yiddish, Zich Ibregeben, Goren Ganzen, to completely give yourself over. L'retzene shel kved kedushas meir v'chomi admor hakam, to the Rebbe, ulmilui dvorov, and to fulfilling his words, v'ereisov, and his teachings. Before I continue this, we're in the middle of a sentence, but I just think it's very interesting here. L'matzev, ubemida hamasemes l'matzev briusai. You can argue with me what that means. And maybe I'm totally misreading Pshat. But for those people who say that all the responsibilities that Rebbe gave us makes them uncomfortable because they feel like they're crushing under the obligations. I see right here that Ebba says, be realistic about your capacity. That Ebba says, yeah, give yourself over in Gansen completely. But in Gansen is a relative term, in a manner that's healthy, in a manner that makes sense. Obviously, no one's asking you to hurt yourself. You're not supposed to hurt yourself. You're supposed to preserve yourself and then give over that beautiful preserved self. I think that's really important. I think maybe those few words got lost somewhere along the line in the Masada, because I think a lot of people, especially our youth, think that sich übergeben in Ganzen zum Rebbe should somehow be painful or involve some type of self-denial. And clearly that's not what it's saying over here at all. To the contrary, the Rebbe is describing the manner in which one claims all the power and the vitality that is available to him. The koiches and the chayes. Koiches and chayes is good stuff. So how do you get it? By turning your will over to the Rebbe. But it's not supposed to hurt and it's not supposed to damage you. God forbid. It's only going to be helpful in every way. Okay. So the Rebbe says, giving yourself over to the Rebbe's words and his directives. All right, words and directives. Which words and directives? So here the Rebbe says, Hanimtzoyim b'sicheisav, that are found in his sichas. Michtovov haklolim, in his general letters. Those are the letters that Rebbe wrote addressed to all Jewish sons and daughters everywhere. Oy haprotiim, and also individual letters that the Rebbe wrote to individuals. The Rebbe doesn't say here, by the way, letters michtovim haprotiim that the Rebbe wrote to you. Maybe I'm taking liberties here. But it seems like the Rebbe is saying, where do you find the Rebbe's directives? Well, sichas, that's the first thing the Rebbe mentions. That's obvious. The Rebbe's talks, but also in the Rebbe's letters, and even in the individual letters, like what we're learning right here. This is a michtov prati. This is a letter that Rebbe wrote to an individual and has incredible guidance for us. Asher bohem yimtza kol achad va'achas mibnei Yisrael heirois bedarke b'chayim. And in these sichas and michtovim, these talks and these letters, every individual of the Jewish people will find directives in how to live life. Which is really what we've been doing with learning the Igros. Is letting the Rebbe teach us how to live life. Umedarf nit nispol veren. And don't be, how do you even translate? Don't be nispol. Don't be intimidated. It's even more than that. It's like, don't even pay it any mind. Not just don't be intimidated. Don't even worry about it. Don't give it a second thought. That's how you say it in English. Don't even give it a second thought. Was hat a kleiner Jingle for a Scheiches mit dieser großen Rebbe? What connection could a little boy have with such a great rabbi? The Rebbe is coaching the father. He's telling the father how to talk to his son. His son lost his cheshek to learn. He's not excited about learning. It's interesting, the Rebbe doesn't say anything here about telling the son how important it is to learn. Didn't even mention learning. He said, talk to your son in appropriate words about the connection he has to the Rebbe, that all of the powers that he needs, he can find it by the Rebbe. If he doesn't do it, it has an effect also on the Rebbe. And that if he'll think about this for even a moment, it'll have an effect on him. And he'll realize the great responsibility that he has. And if he'll say, I'm just a little kid. Me? I have responsibilities. You're talking about such a great Rebbe, and he's relying on me, little old me. Come on. What do I have to do with such a great Rebbe? K'mavua ha'dova bekama mekemis. This concept is explained in many places. B'dach in chsidis v'gamba maimer chayel d'shanazu. The Rebbe says, I enclosed here a copy of the Maimer from Chai Elul of this year. This is Yud Zayin Elul, this letter. So the letter from the Maimer from the next day. We explained this in, I think, the previous class, that there were Maimorim that were pre-written by the Friedrich Rebbe, and they came out even after Yud Shvat, after the Histalkus. So this is one of those maimorim. And in that maimer, the Rebbe says even where to look in Perek Zayin of the maimer. But over there, it's giving a mashal how to understand mitzvahs. If Hashem is infinite, like, how can we do his mitzvahs? Or why would it even matter if we do his mitzvahs? The Maimer gives a mashal there that there's a chochem gadol. There's this genius. And the genius is involved in matters that even other geniuses don't understand, let alone regular people. And, you know, the Einstein is in his room at Princeton with the chalkboards writing all the formulae, and then all of a sudden the janitor walks by. He has no idea what Einstein's writing on the chalkboard. Even the other professors can't halt cup. And all of a sudden Einstein tells the janitor, go bring me a cup of water. All of a sudden, I'm filling it in. I'm embellishing the mashal a little bit, but the Maimer says, the Chochem Gadol tells some regular guy, go do me a favor. All of a sudden, there's a connection. Even though this regular guy has no clue about the significance of what this genius is involved in. And he's not even able to understand what the genius is involved in. And a minute before, he was completely not even a blip on the radar screen of this genius. But now that the genius asked him, get me a cup of water. He doesn't say, get me a cup of water. But whatever, I'm saying, get me a cup of water. I'm not actually saying get me a cup. I have a cup of water, just in case you. Now all of a sudden, there's a connection between this simple little guy and this big genius. And so the Maimer says the same thing with mitzvahs, that even though Hashem is infinite, and we can't wrap our minds around that, but when the infinite one asks us, do something for me, now there's a connection, and we become infinitely important. Because infinity has asked us to do its bidding. So the Rebbe is saying, explain to your son. I don't know how old the son was, but he referred to him as a little kid. Right? In Yiddish. Was hat a kleiner Jüngel. I don't know what age that means, but I mean, I'm presuming it means even before Bar Mitzvah. Kleiner Jüngel. So this father is supposed to explain to his son that the Rebbe is great, yeah, maybe even so great that Tati doesn't understand how great the Rebbe is, and yet the Rebbe wants something from you. It's interesting. There's a letter, a Michtov Klali, from Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Tavshin Yud Aleph, 10 days before the first Yahrzeit. You know the Yud Shvat Minhagim? You know the list of Yud Shvat Minhagim? And that we use those now for Gimel Tammuz Minhagim? Where is that from? There's a letter, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Tavshin Yud Aleph. So 10 days before the first Yahrzeit, the Rebbe wrote a Michtov Klali, a general letter, and there he writes different Minhagim to different customs to keep for the observance of the Yahrzeit. There's many things are written there, like lighting the candle and saying the mimer. But there's a section there about speaking to children. Well, before that, there's a section about going to shuls and speaking to adults and to chazer avort, to say something. to give over a teaching of the Rebbe, speak about the Rebbe. But then there's a whole paragraph about speaking to children. And it says over there, you should speak to children, and you should tell them about the Rebbe's chiba yaseira, his extra love that he had for children. And also that he demands from them what he demands certain things from them, and that he relies on them and hopes in them that they'll do it. So asher tova, that he demands from them, and ha-bitochen va-ha-tikve, the trust and the hope that he has in the children that they'll do what he demands. I think it's very interesting. He loves them, he demands from them, and he trusts that they'll do it. I mean, right there, you could make a whole parenting course just on that one line. He loves them, he demands from them, and he trusts that they can do it. First and foremost, he loves them, because you know what? I don't want your demands if you don't love me. So that you establish he loves you. He demands from you, and he's sure that you can do it. It's more that he's more than just he's sure. He's relying. He's relying on you that you're going to do this. How are we supposed to speak to our children about the Rebbe? So the Rebbe told us how to speak to children about the Rebbe. You tell them that the Rebbe loved children, the Rebbe loves you, the Rebbe expects certain things from you, and the Rebbe knows that you can do it. The Rebbe trusts you that you can do these things for him, that you can help him. You know, there was in the Talks and Tales, there was an announcement about the Histalkus of the Friedrich Rebbe. The monthly that came out for children. So after Yud Shvat, there was an announcement written. And it's a fascinating read, because it's written for children and it's written in English. And it just condenses such deep concepts into such simple English for children. But over there it says similar things. It says, children, you should know that our dear rabbi loves the children, and that just like he cared for them before, he's caring for us now, and that there are things that you can do for him that will bring him much pride. I mean, in case people are wondering, where did this come from? Is this a real thing? Or like I started off at the beginning telling you about this this young woman who said, why are you telling children, make the Rebbe proud of you? Okay, so in the Talks and Tales, in English, in Talks and Tales, that wasn't for Chassidim. That was 1950, writing to American Jews, reading English, and it says, you should tell the kids, our beloved rabbi is still with us, and he's watching us, and he's getting tremendous pride from everything that you, the children, are doing. And that he's a soul, and because he's a soul, so he's still with us, and the body is not, does not prevent him from being present with us. These concepts, this is what you're supposed to tell kids. And that there's a relationship. Just because this person passed away doesn't change the fact that this is the soul of a person who cared for every Jew, and especially for the little children, and continues to care for the children. And that not only he cares for you, but it's a two-way street. You can take care of him. Yeah.
Betach yesh loy v'gam l'chasone sh'yichye kvias itim b'yichud. Lateris kveit kedushas made of echomia admor hakam va imrim gam kain capital ayin aleph de tilim.
now that Ebba switches to another topic. Certainly you and your son-in-law have set times to study Chassidus, especially the teachings of the Chassidus of my father-in-law, and that you're saying chapter 71 of Tehillim. That would be the Friedrich Rebbe's kapitel that year. This is also one of the sources for continuing to say the kapitel of a Rebbe after the Histalkus.
Kiva kashose yaskira hu v'chol b'nei beisei shiichil al tzien kved kedusus meir v'chomi admur hakam l'ksiv v'chsim ha-teva.
As per your request, I will be mentioning you and your entire family, may they be well, at the isle of my father-in-law for a good sweet year. This is, or to be written and sealed for a good year. This is, remember we said Yud Zayin Elul, 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah.
Bibirkas ksiv v'chsim ha-teva l'shana teva masukah, with a blessing for being written and sealed for a good and sweet year. And that is the letter.
I want to mention also, there's a sicha from Shabbos Parshas Bei Tafshin Mem, which was Ches Shvat, which, if you're interested in further study about speaking to children about his kashrus, that is your Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Rebbe is speaking about preparing for Yud Shvat, and the Rebbe says there that children need extra preparation. It's very interesting what the Rebbe said. First of all, preparing on Shabbos, you're not supposed to prepare on Shabbos. But because it's Tzarchei Tzibur, it's for a communal need, then you are allowed to prepare on Shabbos. And the Rebbe says that adults can prepare much more quickly, but children, because every concept needs to be explained to them. Because when you're explaining a concept to a child, they don't have the context built in already. So the Rebbe actually there says something remarkable. He says, when you're telling them about preparing for the histalkus of the Rebbe and you have to talk to them about that, first you may even have to explain to them what histalkus means. So the Rebbe is talking about preparing children who need to be really taught everything, even the most basic concepts. And over there in that sicha, the Rebbe explains at length the concepts that you should teach the children. One thing I found remarkable, the Rebbe says in that sicha to tell children about thought, speech, and action, and that the world was created with the letter He. And like the Alter Rebbe says in Shai Yichud V'Amuna, every letter, its shape, the shape of the letters indicates the nature of that letter. And what does it mean the world was created with the letter He? It means that there's thought, speech, and then a little break, and then action. Not everything you think and not everything you even speak about doing needs to be done. So there has to be the little break, the little hefsik. But if you don't have any action, if you take it away, then the hay becomes a dalid, which is dalus, which is poverty. And the Rebbe says this is what the Friedrich Rebbe talks about in the Maimer of the Hilula, the Hemshech of the Hilula. If you're familiar with the whole Hemshech, Bosi Lagani is not one Maimer, it's a whole Hemshech of Maimorim. So over there, the Friedrich Rebbe speaks about this idea, about the Hay and the Dalid, different Oisius. But when I saw that, I thought to myself, wow, I get why the Rebbe said that in connection with Yud Shvat, because of it's mentioned in the Bosi Lagani Hemshech, but it hit me that it's even more connected to Gimel Tammuz. Because Gimel Tammuz, this year and many years, is in the week of Koirach. And what did the Rebbe speak about Koirach? That Koirach is three letters, Kuf, Resh, Ches. And each of those letters are a corruption of the letter He. And that the model of how to be is the He, to have all three, the thought, the speech, the little break, and then the action. And so it's interesting that Rebbe is telling us how to prepare children for the Yom Hilula, and he says to talk to them about the letter He. So if you need a vort that's about Gimel Tamas and this week's Parsha, and probably something that they heard somewhere also, it's a famous vort from the Parsha, this is what you have to explain to them. There's thought and there's speech and there's action, and that the main thing is action, and we need to make hachlotas. When Gimel Tamas comes, it's a time to make resolutions about how to be better, and that when we do these things, we're helping the Rebbe. The Rebbe loves us, and the Rebbe trusts us, and when we're better, this helps the Rebbe. This is what we're supposed to tell children. But there's a lot more there in the Fabreng, and I recommend you take a look. Ches Shvat Shabbos Parshas Bo'i Tov Shin Mem. So, Emir Tzah Hashem, Mashiach should be here before Gimel Tamas, and you will have an opportunity to explain to your children all about his kashrus in a way that has nothing to do with the Hilula. But either way, one way or another, we have to tell our children about the Rebbe and that the Rebbe loves them and is relying on them. Okay.